Welcome to The Firm, episode 33. Alex, how are you doing?
Good, good, yeah. Keeping up. So if you're listening to this, then hopefully you have listened to our episode where Sherwin, the wonderful Sherwin, took time out of his day to speak to us. If not, probably go back and do that, because we're talking more about how the captains sort of feel on the board more than the card reads that we did with Sherwin. Also, I'm sure that loads of the other... I'm fairly certain that every other podcast out there is doing it as well. So yeah, get your card reads from either our previous episode or something else, and then come back and enjoy this.
Yeah, you may be able to tell from the pre-recorded nature of our episode that we actually got to them a bit early. Mm-hmm. We had a bit of proxy time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at the secret underground theme forge.
We got them in the... We put them through the Firm Lab. Yeah. My basement.
We were put for the regular, the best way to play them, the regular man trial.
It was Corker versus Corbelli. You played Corker, I played Corbelli. Then I ran Corbelli and you... No, then I tried Order with the Ball of Light and you tried Corbelli.
Yep.
Then I tried Rivet and you tried Cutlass and Cover.
Bang.
Bish, bash, bosh. Osh, kosh, bagosh.
Yeah, we played of all new captains. Got at least one game guaranteed board for your rating. If you're looking forward to that, keep listening.
If you're not,
I don't know what to tell
you.
We've
been The Firm Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this intro, and we'll catch you next time.
Just go ahead and skip to the end for the Stargate SG-1 review. No. For everyone's looking forward to. But, ladies and gentlemen, first game. Everyone's been looking at all these new cards. They're everywhere. And if you listen to last episode, like you should have done, you'll know what they're capable of. So we're going to launch right into it. I just painted up my brew.
Complete coincidence. It was a complete coincidence.
I'm in a bit of a brewing mood. So weirdly enough, I really wanted to put Corker on the board right away. This guy seems, I don't want to say super strong, but he's undoubtedly great. And I'm going to put in probably Tapper's new replacement.
Yeah, unfortunately. Because you love Tapper, don't you?
I absolutely adore Tapper. I think he's a fun, interesting captain that, plays in the way I think the captain of the Brewers should. He doesn't really feel like the support piece.
Mm.
And he has a pretty good beatdown game as well, which I love. But the core problem with Tapper versus Corker as a model, I think Corker's support abilities generally kind of outpace Tapper in many ways. Tapper's heroic, for example, to bring more influence, kind of takes a bit of a hit compared to Corker's heroic free bar.
Oh.
Beer tokens are better than influence by far. The fact he can just pump up, it can knock out 5 influence worth a generation a turn if you're playing it that way. It's a 4-inch pull, so it's not. You have to play pretty tight. But if you want it, you can get it. And the good thing about Corker as well and Beer Token, and we found this in the game we played, is that the heroic allows you to bank influence effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
So the weakness is of like Hooper, who only get 3 influence, and they're going to spend 1 just knocking you down to get their really good shit, kind of goes away when you can go. Because the thing I like about, we had this with the Brewers into your Corbelli team. I had my first, the Brewers, I always know the Brewers' first turn is just nothing.
Waddling up the pitch.
Yeah, it's just like, whatever, if you hit me, I'm just going to run up.
You can sort of imagine it, like they're standing on the deployment line, they're all finishing a pint, and you can see them just sort of, the first turn is that like the other team start running up with the ball, or they start sort of like getting into position to fight, and you can almost imagine the Brewers just knocking back their drink, throwing it off to the side as they slowly walk up to, right, we can hit you this time.
Yeah, you just got to take the beating coming in, Don't worry about it. And Corker really shines in that kind, because you know you're going to take the first hit.
Hmm.
So you're like, fuck it, heroic, run forward. Bing, bam, boom.
Yep.
So 9 times out of 10, your brewing team are going to get the extra point of influence, and they're just going to be pumped. They're going to be powered up ahead of time.
Yeah.
So when they actually start hitting properly, they're going to be hitting like an extra. That's the real strength of beer talking we found in that game. That Hooper, the guy who normally everyone gets to go to, like fucking bigger. with two beer token, like a kick and pull striker then.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, yeah. And he can use it for shit that he normally don't really come up that often on the brewing. But shit, the character playing with cock to influence just go down to a beer token now. Yeah. Yay.
And think the great thing about Vets Bigot is that he scored a goal with a beer token. Like yeah, he took the beer token for the heroic, for the free
sprint and shot.
Yeah.
Okay, not sprint and shot, again, plus two move. That means he's got an 8-inch jog.
Yeah.
And a shot. Yeah, that was my... Just out of all the game, the rest of the team kind of didn't come into it that much, but Corker, a good model, gut instinct after the first game, ain't looking good for Tapper.
Yeah.
That being said, though, fun model, great model, a lot of fun to play with. I think a great addition to the brew in general.
Spit and sawdust, huge. Like it didn't come up a great deal in our game, but it's the thing that I find particularly ruinous for it is that it just like strikers, like when you're going for that shot and they're still engaging you.
Yeah, the thing I find it's gonna hurt teams are really dependent on the knockdown clear out session. And it might like the captain I immediately think of a Corker. Grange, Hurf to a certain extent.
So the captains that are trying to create their own scrum, but they want like sort of when it forms up.
Yeah.
The best thing Corsair can sometimes do is use three of his stack to go knockdown, knockdown, knockdown.
Yeah.
And then use the other three to put the boot in.
Yeah, Agamemnon from well, good example of guys you just need to, like, if a couple of my guys get on a striker, they've got a point of armor. Maybe they're getting cover if they're lucky. Two crowd out, that striker. Eventually, they start getting locked down pretty hard. And they need some strikers just need their playbook to get out of that situation.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Miners don't.
Miners. Don't worry about them. They're fine. But the in that situation where a big guy comes and clears them out to free up other model, it doesn't end the problem. Like, they can still walk out at the end of the day. But if they're looking to get a good playbook result or maybe a momentum result early on, you go, okay, my striker freed up. I'm going to try and get a couple of hits on my playbook and get that momentum push dodge I was really looking for. If all your guys you have locking them down aren't locking down anymore and you can't move.
Yeah.
You need your move for the kick. You're like, oh, shit. I imagine that will put, depending on the team, I don't think it's super potent. It's just annoying. Trait.
Well, it's just one of them things where instead of having to throw away momentum, standing people back up, when like once they've activated, it's just like, I'm not going to get anything out of you for the rest of the turn. You're not going to, like, maybe they've got enough health. You don't really want to stand them back up. You know, all they're now there for is a scrum piece. Yeah. And it's just like, well, cool. You're still doing your job. I don't have to spend the momentum that I was to sort of, only just to recover it. I can now keep that two momentum in my pocket and keep going.
Yeah. My other favourite thing about Gorka, Legolas Drunk. This is probably one of my favourite traits in the game right now.
I think this is going to be absolute Marmite. It really is.
Yeah. First off, it's probably one of the best defensive traits in the game, generally. It doesn't suffer from the problem that Regillian and its type suffer from. It can be countered in a similar way. But if you have to go in on playbook damage, and right, basically, if this guy gets three or above on Legolas Drunk, you're out.
Yeah.
Unless the guy's made some kind of, the enemy player has made some kind of great play to trap you in. The obvious counter with Legolas Drunk, you can use a character play to trigger it early.
Yeah.
And go, okay.
Hit him with the axe throw. Like you said, the same way you would with resilience, pop it from range.
Yeah, pop it. But either way, it either gets away, or my favourite, flexible. Corker's not quite. Corker doesn't kick off, for example. Other guy goes, oh well. Ferran goes in, power pinned, or whatever. I'll start finning him down now. Okay, I roll a five. 5-inch forward. Now all of a sudden, captain who wasn't really going to push his luck all that much could be right up in your face. And a good captain activation can put you on. Like, the thing about the first turn, where I think the first turn really, lives and dies, is when you've got last activation, and your captain go, and if they can reach someone, ooh, I've got all that pound into someone, build up all that momentum, but then I get next turn. So if I kill someone, build up another pile of momentum, then run off.
Mm.
And I think that's where Corker will be particularly good. I think Legolas drunking could defensively, because yeah, in a playbook situation, he could remove himself completely from the situation and be fine. Better yet, if they try and give him the, if someone tries to take him out from ranged, it could give him a level of range that you really don't want him to have. Like going great, he could roll a one, but he could roll a kick.
Yeah.
So, like if Theron goes for the 8-inch pinned, shit, he got a kick. He went from being 8-inch away from me, literally can barely reach me, to shit, he's an inch away from me now. Like, in most models, once you've factored in snared, they'll not even be able to get to you. Mm. Now it, and because it's a push, not a jog, which would trigger, you know, parting blows and all that shit. It's just like, yeah, I'm here now.
Mm.
You fuck your parting blow, fuck your track, maybe.
Yeah.
But, kind of.
Take the condition, but they'd finish the distance.
Yeah, so. It could be. I really like this model. Mm. I think he's really fucking good. What did you think of Belly?
I really enjoyed him. I did enjoy him, but I thought when I first saw him, I thought it was, well, okay, Fish, you were fun, that's it, but here comes Corbelli. But as much as I enjoyed him...
You were really pumped for this model.
I was so excited. I was so excited. I was just looking... I was, like, licking my lips at the trait making space. The idea of being able to dodge someone before choosing a target for a pass. Because I was talking to someone else about this recently, actually. I'm such a sucker for a snapshot. When I get into that... When I get into that... got 8 points when I get to that 8 VP I get I panic, I get desperate and I try and close the game out as quickly as possible. So instead of maybe playing it if, like a bit slower and passing out to a striker to give them a chance to run off, I always get too worried that in that turn gap you get they get killed. That's why I will always go for the snapshot to finish the game, or if or on the rare occurrence I can go Fathom feeds it to Angel linked.
Yeah,
which is basically just snapshot with a couple of steps and some better dice.
Yeah,
it's like so. That's why making space, dummy pass, and I was so excited by the idea of like choosing dummy pass to dodge Flint 4 inches, making space to dodge him another 4 inches, and when he's like, say he was 16 inches away from the goal, so he's now dodged twice out of activation. He's now in snapshot range. Corbelli bounces it off him. The issue is Corbelli himself would be a really good snapshot turret.
Yeah,
5 dice, bonus time up to 6. I feel like he's now, not saying they're a bad football team, because obviously they're not a bad football team, but I feel like they just, he needs some more support. Like if I took Corbelli and then put him down on the pitch with Siren, Sakana and Fathom running around as well, it would be absolute chaos and it would break the game forever. Yeah. Right? This is why he's dark blue and not light blue.
Mm.
I feel like the way he plays, he's so football focused, so just like 100% football focused from when I looked at the card, that I was like, well, he doesn't have enough support. But like in practice, he's not entirely all football all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a momentous 2 on 2 hits. Tooled up in guild, dummy pass and making space could be used to dodge 2 people in for crowd outs.
Yeah.
You know, he's
very, 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 very flexible model.
My problem was that I think I held on to the legendary for too long.
Yeah.
I feel like the way to get the most out of Corbelli is probably to alpha strike with him and like score a goal turn 1. Then turn 2, his activation is you use the legendary, get the ball back, score again, and then someone tries to snapshot off him, probably Flint, maybe Mallet if he hasn't got that far to move, you know. But in practice, it didn't work out for me. Your Corker scrum just managed to catch up and ground me out.
Yeah.
But it was a good game, and I think that with a bit more practice, maybe I'd start to like Corbelli a bit more. But I've got the same problem with him that I personally have with all superstar strike captains. I prefer it when my captains bring out the best in my squaddies, because I've got 4 squaddies on the pitch. I've got 1 captain on the pitch. So the way Yukai moves people around in the same way that I know a lot of top tier players don't really rate veteran honor. She came out just when I'd put the farmers back in the box, and I was like, my God, this is the model I needed. When I'd put down harvest markers at the start of a turn, you go, oh no, Windle can't get that now. Fallow can't get them now. The fact she could go, don't worry, I've got your back. There you go, off you go.
Yeah.
Like, I feel that the captains I prefer bring that, whereas Corbelli completely is that, like, Italian or Spanish, like, footballer who becomes a superstar. You know, the world revolves around him. And, like, while he can give out dodges to the rest of the team, it's always going to be to benefit him. I feel like if you're using dummy pass to dodge someone who's already got the ball further away, I mean, yeah, it's a good use of it, but I don't really think that's what this guy's all about.
Yeah,
this guy's all about getting the ball, keeping the ball. The 2-inch melee, great. Close control, brilliant. Yeah, it didn't click with me.
Yeah.
But then you played him in the next game. How did you find him?
I thoroughly enjoyed this guy. You know, I'm not huge on the football game, but I can play it competently, you know?
I'm not huge on the football game, but I played it well enough to beat you.
Well, to be fair, the guy not to be trifled with, to be perfectly fair. I basically played the hammer team I have normally. Mallet, Tower, Flint, Lucky. Yeah. I do like Lucky.
Wrecker,
yeah. Don't forget Wrecker. Never forget Wrecker, who did a great job in that game. Yeah, the thing I found was, first off, Tower just showed up, tooled up on this guy. You did that thing where you extended Keegan Brisket into me. Ball of Light, by the way, a complete revolution for that team.
It was so good. I really enjoyed it. They're a team that I, on paper, should have always been enjoying. Their football and their nonsense. I like that. What I like about Fish is it's kind of safe football. So yeah. When I want to play football, I enjoy them. But the sort of dodges and the quick movement and the sort of like ticky-tacky play of the order is, I absolutely love it. I adore it. And I can see myself playing a lot more of it now they've got the Ball of Light. And I play my kickoff and it worked exactly how I wanted it to. I just missed the dice roll. It was something I'd been thinking about. Like, it was quite a simple sort of setup. I kicked off with Brisket, gave Spigot the Ball of Light. I'm open on, and then sort of you had your activation, retrieved the ball, kicked it to someone who was in cover, who you dodged into cover, and I went cool. Brisket, I'm open, takes the ball, dodges 4 inches for free because of Harry, passes the ball back to Spigot. Brisket dodges 4 inches for free because of Harry. Then I jogged up and bought the attack, and I just whiffed the attack too many times because I got the close control.
I think you did charge. You were looking for the double tackle dodge.
That's the issue. Yeah, because it was on Flint. Whereas I would have been all right if it was on anyone else. Yeah. It was the close control got me, but it would have been a turn one activation one goal. You know, put you on 4-0 from the back, which was what I was looking for. Didn't get it. Game kind of went downhill.
The part of the game that really shined was Corbelli fully loaded him. Why wouldn't I? I didn't make that great a use of the various abilities we've got. But when the time really came, he's just fucking spectacular on the board.
Mm.
Okay, Brisket overextended into me. Great, I've got the ball. Things are looking good.
Yeah. I was happy for the 4-2 trade. I just didn't get the 4.
Wrecker just fucking go, yep, push you out of cover, no problem. Push you into other people. Start locking you down in the devil triangle.
Yeah, so I didn't have cover, and I was B, pushed into two crowdouts. So you got net 3 dice off that.
Yeah. And
which was free. Wrecker, man. Love it.
Wrecker can do good. Again, good for unpredictable movement types. Mm. Okay, just knock you around. Okay. For the unpredictable movement types, normally absolutely stellar player, but yeah, once we've got you in the devil triangle, you're there. And yeah, Corbelli, been told up by Tower, walks up. This guy probably has one of the strongest striker playbooks I can immediately think of. Momentum tackle on 1, double dodge on 2, all the menace, push dodge, pretty much a knockdown on 4. Which is pretty fucking alright.
The thing is, he's one of these striker, where the four things you're looking for as a striker are momentous and low down. The momentous tackle and the momentous dodge, both on one. The momentous double dodge on two and the momentous push dodge on three. Everything you're looking for is in the front half of your book and it's momentous.
Yeah.
The knockdown, nice to have, but, you know.
If you, the funny thing, it just makes him a nightmare to... The one thing you can rely on with strikers is that you can just walk away from him usually without much real problem. On a parting blow, on Kevin Tack, you knock down on four.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to give you a really hard time. Yeah, he does actual good damage on a parting blow as well. He's quite a dangerous model. And in the tooled-up scenario I had him in, Brisket, God bless her, even for all her health, a captain wife, we've had a couple of crowd out. I'll roll in Kevin Tack or whatever, 8-tack. Momentum, 3-on-2 hits. Well, yeah, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, you're on a point of health. Okay, momentum, push, dodge. Started next turn with literally kick momentum. Going, yeah, okay. Killer, momentum. Yeah. Momentum, yeah, happy with the acrobatic. I think he just ran up and dodged on people. 5-8 kick, boom.
Yeah.
And it was only a matter of time before Flint got a hold of that ball again. He had so much extra movement after that.
Yeah. Well, you used the dummy pass to bring Flint up to threaten like an entire wing.
Yeah, and just push you that ball.
Yeah, use the acrobatics and yourself to come in and start like Fist of Fury.
Yeah. The acrobatic as well. I knew I had to engage him at some point. It allowed me the option to go, all right, am I moving to engage and using acrobatic to get out again, or do I just want a bit of extra range? And the 5-8 kick is just a little bit of a win, really.
Yeah.
That extra dice for kick, 6-8 kick on the bonus time, a lot has to go wrong for you to make that kick. And for all that, close control on top to boot. 3-2 as well.
Mm.
Not bad for a striker. Other strikers.
Very not bad for a striker.
Yeah, other strikers who really want to get in and try and strip that ball off him in cover with two armour. It's something a lot of strikers have a hard time with.
Close control.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But even if you've got a tackle on one, for the best striker in the world, a tackle on one. All right, I go in, it's in cover. I've probably got a 4-tack. 5 if I'm lucky. If I'm really, if I'm a spigot. I'm spigot quite good. Let's take Beck Spigot, yeah. Fucking great. For 5-tack, 4-1 playbook. Man, if I miss 2 hits, I don't... I have to get a tackle, maybe. If I miss 2 hits, I don't get out. Mm. If I miss 1 tackle, like, it can go downhill really quick. Mm.
And it's the influence maths of strikers is always so tight.
Yeah.
So tight. The majority of the time you have 1 for the tackle, 1 for the dodge, 1 for the sprint, 1 for the shot.
Yeah, and the better thing is when he's got such good counter attacking ability. Is that normally, right, you go, okay, again, I'll take veteran figure, ball gone, that kind of shit. If I try and do, tackle or tackle knockdown, even better. Even Hammer can get away with that. If that first counter attack, you go, okay, tackle, okay, no, I can adequate next tackle, okay, counter attack. If he goes, okay, I get it, but I can't get the tackle dodge to remove myself from the situation. Missed, even. Tackle dodge or tackle whatever. Something tackle and get out.
Yeah.
Then he goes, okay, you're very likely not going to get up that playbook.
Mm.
You're basically going, if I miss out against two armour, other strikers are going to have a really hard time with this guy. Any 2-inch melee to boot, so it's not like you can get away from him. If you knock him down, the ball scatters, so that's out the window. Like, yeah, he's a nightmare on the pitch, to be honest, especially for a footballing team.
Mm.
And we're tooled up.
I think that's where it really came down to. I felt like when you were playing your Brewers, you were more than content to just park them. You had Spigot stand literally in the corner with Spigot, it.
Yeah, got one beer top.
Yeah. He had it and ran off, and I was just like, I can't even... Even with all the movement nonsense in the world, I can't get to you. Like, I really struggled that game to just spend I spent the entire game trying to get the ball back while you just killed me slowly. But the fact that we were both looking for goals in the second one and it was flying around everywhere, he is so strong into a goal scoring lineup. So strong. Yeah.
And that was the thing that took your captain down to killed her momentously, more importantly. Mm-hmm. Got me goal, 6 VP activation, no problem whatsoever. And then the funny thing about it is that once Corbelli was done, Flint had his shit, but I had the rest of my team who can kill people just fine.
Mm.
Lucky going in, whatever, momentum free, Wrecker just pushing people into people, ruining their day. Yeah, it just the thing at the end of the day, if you take a shark on your fisherman team, I don't know how much you can get away with on the damage game.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to the impact, you can put out damage and you don't have to bring a striker lineup. Like, there are fisherman players who would kill for a granite or a chinkle or anyone who can do the footwork, kill for tooled up, never mind that.
Yeah.
Even Tower himself, he got flawed. Yeah, plus free tack of a crowd out, whatever, fucking bang, bang, bang. Yeah, super potent. But I don't want to. My only change I'd suggest, you've got to take that momentum too often. We give him the two, we're tooled up as well. And it's not the damage I have a problem with. It's the, I've hurt you so badly. Five momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just take that off him. Or make it higher up. I don't mind the two, but don't give him momentum for it.
Oh, they've got to if it's got going to stay there, because it's the Mason's playbook, isn't it? Front half momentous.
Yeah, rules meant to be broken now. With momentum free on two hits, with the striker dude running around, Hammer is looking for free, momentum free.
Yeah.
Four with Iron Fist and he's told up. Like, you know, he can put out hammer levels of damage, no problem. And then draw goals better than most striker captains in the game. You've just got to take that momentum too often. I hate to be that guy, but yeah, the fact I could just run through Brisket, no problem. Have a pile of momentum, get third turn, kill her again, pile of momentum. And I'm double dodging on. If you're going to be Mr. Striker captain, replace it with Mel. I don't even give him more tack if you feel, move it up and give him more tack if you feel that badly about it. But for me, that'll be the funny thing. Out of all the plays you can do, as flexible and powerful as on the board, it's that one result I think that's going to really piss people off.
Mm.
Go, he tooled up. Oh, fucking fuck.
Yeah.
He's actually got so much good dodging. He's not that you can go, alright, lock him down and keep away from him. Like, alright, acrobatic back in. You can't even counterattack and push him away or knock him down. He's just like, yeah, I'm back. Back, bitch. Yeah.
That's if he can counterattack with his 2-inch mallow.
Yeah. That's the thing, it's just all a bit of a fuck you. Great model, though. I had a great time with him. But again, given the fact that Mr. Killing at Killfake. And going, this model's spectacular. I might even play him myself. Like, probably should be a warning sign.
I think it's the first time you've ever won a game with involving two goals.
Yeah, I've had goals before. I've heard of them.
Not two in a game, though.
Yeah, so I know I might try and look for three in a 3-1. But we went toe-to-toe again.
You ran blacksmiths into my engineers.
Oh, man, we're a bit torn on this, weren't we? Because Rivet is when we were talking in the interview, I mentioned to Bryce
Sherwin.
I mentioned to Sherwin, got Bryce on my mind. Something about that young rascal.
That roguish charm.
When we were talking to Sherwin, I said out of all the captains, I quite liked Rivet the most because I thought her design was particularly well crafted and balanced.
Mm.
And I liked how she's creating a really good place for the engineer. I feel like if you put together a Killy or a super goal story engineer team, you would be happy with Rivet one way or the other.
Yes. Yes. And she is that sort of. Oh, I really enjoyed her because she brought what I was just saying that Corbelli doesn't. She is, her role is to make everyone around her better. Mm. And I got so much use out of it. I got so much legs out of it. And I think it's this thing that whatever miniatures game we play, I always try to pick like the faction, or I try and pick models based around giving me as much of a buffer as possible.
Yeah.
And the fact that my turn doesn't lean on one particularly good activation. It's that I've got four squaddies who can do slightly better than they could before, it gives me as many chances to cock it up as I need.
Oh, yeah.
And Spade with tac six is a thing of beauty.
Oh, bad. This is a very weird game.
Yeah, it very, very quickly worked. So, so I brought Rivet, Spade, Mainspring, Salvo.
Velocity.
And Velocity, yeah. Original Velocity. And you brought Captain Caliber,
yeah.
Cutlass, Ambulance Ledge, then Furnace and Cast.
Yep.
I went 8-0 up and then lost 12-8.
I turned on the murder game. Yeah,
it was... And it entirely came down to I got my blinkers on after the second goal and just would not give up trying to hunt the ball down when the few times that I did just use a couple of influence to get some lay down some hurt, I could have so easily killed two. I had I realised the mistake I'd made, I think, during the second or third turn, I think I would have won that game.
Yeah.
So I received. He kicked me. I just knocked it down the line. Rivet dragged everyone up with her. That's incredible. So much use out of that.
Really potent.
Really, really good. So just sort of dragged everyone up. I had Velocity and Spade took a wing each. Velocity collected, so she knocked down the line to Spade, who had a pile of momentum. While that was happening, Mainspring came up, so he was in a sort of middling position. So when you booted it over, like you always do, I was ready to just long bong it back out into where I needed it.
Yeah.
So Rivet took Harriet the Hat with her to go and sort of start punching people.
Yeah.
That toe, that's incredible. That getting so much use out of that during that game. But Spade just runs up, scores a goal, no problem because of the thing she does.
Yeah.
And I managed to get such an angle on the shot that even though Cutlass could dodge 2 inches, she couldn't dodge into the ball path. I think you actually used it to push up just so you could get Cutlass into a better position to try and attack someone next turn.
Yeah, yeah.
Then ball comes out. You long bong it on Sledge straight over the top of my guys.
Sledge, I maintain some of the best model. I like the way they're put together. I like the way they work together.
Well, the way the game ended.
We'll get to that, guy. But Culverin and Cutlass, I do like the goalkeeping tech, generally. Cutlass in particular, the 2-inch dodge when you make a shot, it's one of my favourite goalkeeping bits of tech. Not particularly powerful, it just feels right for the model. Like, it feels what a goalkeeper actually does.
Yeah.
And you can use it in kind of more devious ways. Like, okay, I kept her near the goal anyway, but when you went for the shot, it was like, well, she's going to dodge in, make her shoot through her. Well, that's great. I've already got you doing playing my tune, so to speak. They're my favourite trait from people. Don't even try and fight against them. They just go, whatever, you've got that.
Yeah.
Gonna. I'll dodge 2 inch, you know, towards you and get ready to smack you down later on. Or crowd you out, whatever. I really like that about Cutlass. The other thing I don't like is the getting the goal stuff. It really limits, I think, Culverin's potential with each other. Not to a ridiculous extent. But the problem I always had is that I had that thing where there would come the goalkeeper tech where I had to activate, spend one, and then leave it.
Mm.
That one activation in emergency situations, you 9 times out of 10 you don't get it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying just get her, you know, let her have getting the goal for free. But I don't know, I prefer something a bit more active. And I don't even know how to put it. It's one of the ones I have to think on more. But yeah, I
do. Like a rush keeper?
No, a rush keeper. I don't like rush keeper either. I'm putting rush keeper in the category of unpredictable movement. It's potentially absolutely ridiculously good character trait that no one ever uses. In fact, like every time someone uses rush keeper and unpredictable movement, it can't stop and it happens. They go, oh, unpredictable movement, haha, you don't get to attack. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, I take it back. Do you want to hit someone else? That's the kind of trait they occupy. Oh, I get rush keeper. Okay, oh, sorry, I didn't know you had that. I'll go a fraction of a millimetre out. Okay. or I'll engage you. Rushkeeper ended. That's I've never viewed Rushkeeper properly before.
They occupy that weird space where instead of being there to be activated, they just change the game around them.
Maybe even, I don't know, no, something too potent. Just something a bit more. The thing I like about the 2-inch dodge is that it's annoying. Don't ruin your kick. Like, 4 going down to 3 dice, really, isn't that big of a deal. The intervention. So maybe something, maybe something like issue actually engage. I don't know. It's something I'm really hard to think on.
See, but, I really like the combination of getting the goal and the 2-inch dodge.
So the idea that you
can throw it down, Culverin goes off and does a Culverin thing, then when you use your next activation to try and score a goal, say Cutlass was like a couple of inches forward, you can use that 2 to dodge back into getting the goal.
Yeah.
You've now taken a dice off them and made it harder. 4 dice going down to 3 looking for a 5 doesn't look as good.
I'm not saying it's bad tech by any means,
but
it gave the like rigidness to the two models in terms of their ranging. The thing, Anvil and Pledge work together in a very similar way. You need to keep Anvil and Pledge near each other, really, for them to get their maximum potential.
But that them being near each other can happen anywhere with it on the board.
Yeah.
Whereas...
Yeah, you kind of... Yeah, that, I think that's what I mean. I know you kind of feel a bit tethered to the goalpost. I guess I'm kind of the point.
It's hard to make a goalie model that's still great in the midfield, because then...
Yeah, maybe if it was a larger dodge, you'd have to be toward the goal post instead of, you know, wherever you want. And then you kind of could towards the two different things. But a little bit of flexibility still. But you kind of can extend your range a bit more. But it's probably a bit of greed on my part. Again, the football game at my tech. So maybe it's like I wasn't willing to play the football game too much. I wanted the big shooty, rooty tooty shit. And that's spectacular, by the way. Especially when combined with Tooled Up.
Yeah.
The fact you can tool up Cutler and she gets the damage from everything, mind blowing stuff. AoE putting down, going free damage, knock down.
Pew pew Pikachu.
Just rounding people up, grinding you out. And that's what made it enabled my counterplay as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you got your 8, the thing that enabled me to actually kill back was the fact I'd just been softening you up with difficult to ignore levels of damage. And then the second everyone else caught up, it was only a matter of time before I just started killing people. And the funny thing is, it was only one dice roll that fucked you over on the last kick.
Yeah.
It was literally one more hit and this is good as mine. I were in that position of like going, I'm going to get fucking straight up 12 here, oh dear. Barely even warmed up. Okay, yeah, when the last attack didn't go your way, I like, part of the dice for you, wasn't it?
yeah, oh well, now I can play.
Pretty much I like going, alright, well, I guess I'm in a bit of a fucking dire situation here.
Yeah.
Luckily, the blacksmith have... I'm making everything. I'm making armor, making defense. A lot of their kind of wet models have great kick. Like, when I got the ball with Pledge, and I'm like, oh my god, where's this ball going to go? It was literally like, okay, Pledge takes it. 3 character play from Anvil. I can look at kick. 3 kicks, long bomb, 3-10. And then the guy completely like 10-inch pack to nowhere. On the end of the widget, come not... got effectively 11-inch kick. Then the car, like 2 kicks for like 17-inch that way, and I go to car better than that again. And that bought me valuable time, that bought me a turn.
It bought you the time, because Salvo needed his momentum from the free, so it was either do the free character play to get the ball or have the momentum for the snapshot or to bounce it off Spade. There was nowhere that I could get it, so I had to give you an activation while I generated the momentum. By which point you've obviously closed down Spade.
Yeah, I jumped on her.
So that bought some more time, because I then had to move her. So yeah,
good die come out. This where Anvil and Pledge come again. Fucking plus 3 net hits, man. We get to the end of the game, right? 10-8, mowing through Velocity, who, you know, one of the most viable models in the game. It turns to Striker. Pledge walks up, pile driver, bang, 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 kills her immediately. When push really came to shove, it got to the end of the game, 10-8. I've got first activation with Pledge. Calvo crowded out like an anvil and cast. He's not in a great situation anyway.
Yeah.
But I was going, like, how much health he got? Oh, kick for it.
Yeah.
Okay, alright, pile driver.
Yeah, you just put the widget down and you didn't even move a model. You just went, pile driver attack, stuck your hand out.
Even if you had to sprint, it was like, get a free pile driver, sprint, attack.
There's no part of those to consider.
Charge,
There was literally nothing stopping you from getting from A to B. And then once you were at B, you just killed him automatically. So it was just...
I don't even have to roll. Like, he's got a 1-inch melee compared to Fledging 2. A pile driver, free damage. Pile driver, free damage. I win.
And it's the first time I've ever ended a game of Guild War and just been like...
I think sometimes... that much of a grind of a game, you kind of get to that point where you're going like, oh, well, let's roll it out. I've had plenty of games like that where my victory all been but assured. If you'd have come to me early in the game, like time travel style, and brought me from the past into the future, like, Ryan, look at this game here. Bade's about to move here and shoot here. I'm like, ah, fuck. Gun to your head, do you peek out of the game or do you hang on? Do you think you're going to win? You know, if you get a reward for getting right, I'd have gone, I obviously loom here, fucking shake hand.
Yeah.
What roll? But because you rolled for it, don't get it. Oh, fuck it, it's all changed, huh? That whole thing of actually going for the thing, we like to go for the rigmarole of, well, let's roll it out, you never know. That the fact I can just turn around and go, pledge go, I don't even roll for this. I win with a momentum. I win.
Yeah, it was that exact thing of there wasn't a dice roll. You won, and there wasn't a dice roll.
There wasn't even a chance
in the activation. So Cutlass and Culverin, great fun. Rivet, spectacular. Anvil and Sledge, fuck them guys.
But it's what I like about the Black Monster kind generally. That Culverin and Cutlass do work spectacular together. Anvil and Sledge. Get in the kind of Cutlass and Culverin get in the same portion of Anvil and Pledge, where if you take one of them out, there's almost no point in bringing out of a model. They get so much out of each other.
It's interesting because with the blacksmiths, the masters and the apprentices have been sort of they've been gently tethered together. You know, it's been maybe it's like Velcro. They've been sort of stuck together, and it's like, hey, when you're together, you get really good.
Yeah.
But you still function when you're apart. Cutlass, literally, is entirely dependent on Culverin.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that they've brought that in. And I think I'd actually find that more interesting within the blacksmith design space if there was more of a sort of actual necessity to have them together. So you almost, when you drafted, you picked three pairs.
Yeah, the thing with the farmers, for example, they've got Planter and Reaper. And if you bring nothing but Reaper, you basically can't play. Like, they're garbage. They just fall apart. No influence, no way to activate their best ability. Like, Alloy, for example, spectacular model. Great any time, any day of the week, great model. The thing I like about Anvil and Pledge and Culverin,
I just feel like welcome to July 2018. We're just going to complain about the blacksmiths for about 3 months, and everyone's going to complain about how we're complaining for the blacksmiths 3 months. You thought we learned a lesson? No.
I don't even view it like a complaint. I feel a lot better playing the guild when they have an internal make-sense kind of feel to them.
Yeah.
And when they're designed in that way, I like the fact that, Anvil and Pledge, I'll keep mentioning them because I think they work as designed. You get a real feeling of, they really work together. Like, if for some reason Anvil gets in trouble, you know Pledge will help him out. And you know Anvil's going to get up some nightmare scenario. Fucking Pledge is about to make mince meat. And you totally get it, yeah. Bang, knocked down, singled out. You've got one activation to save the poor fucking life. And it didn't even make a difference anyway. Pile driver, bada bing, bada fucking boom. And momentum 20. I love that. I like that. I feel like you do the setup, you get the payoff. Excellent. And the models work well together. You take Anvil out of that. Where's Pledge? Why did I even bring him? And yeah, Culverin and Cutlass, I like that. Like, I like that they work together in such a way that you could put them on the board and play a game, and you could probably write a story about the game, and it makes sense in the world of Guild Ball, if you know what I mean. Yeah, you could. It's not that different. Like, playing the game is very similar to engaging with the lore of the world in a way.
It's interesting how Sharon said that that's one thing that Cutlass and Culverin kind of have, how on Culverin's activation, you are literally giving the instruction that she would to Cutlass. You're spending one influence and going, get in the goal. And Cutlass is like, yeah.
All right.
Shoot the cannons over there.
Yeah, I
this one, boss. Okay.
Yeah, I love the cannon. I love the whole cannon mechanic. I think it's really cool. Devastating in the right situation.
What's that? You're trying to scrum up? Oh, no. Tooled up cannonball.
Yeah, when you tooled up. AoE driving blow. Just going, fuck it. All right, just keep giving me a good roll. Fucking eating through model. Yeah, I do really like this model, generally. Out of all of them, though, Corker does remain a favourite. I really like that model. I like what it can do. I like what it can get away with. I love that model. Yeah, like, again, it's not even that it's particularly explosive. It's just got such, like, annoying characters. Mm. Like, going, yeah, knock down, I still get to engage you. Can't get pie and blow throw, but what a pain in the ass. Yeah. You know, I almost wish that was an additional condition of Bitten Sawdust. You get pie and blow from the knock down, they just can't knock you down or tackle. You're trying to run away from the guy, I'm like, alright, fuck it, just doing damage to you on the way out, chipping at your ankle while they're on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing, like, there's going to be a few people who think that you still can make a part and blow. Obviously you can't, but that would be cool if it was like a spit and sawdust, like an additional thing that, like, the brewers can do damage only part and blows while knocked down.
Yeah, cute like that. Yeah,
when Corkers did that,
like, in the
I don't know how you'd write that rule without it becoming half a page of text, but yeah, it'd be interesting.
I think the only problem I have is, like, the game kind of, it's annoying, but not in a particularly effective way. Most striker, if you knock a bunch of people down, oh no, I'm engaged, but I suppose I'll just walk away.
Yeah, it's more for, like, when you've got into that scrum, when you're getting into that grind fest.
Oh yeah,
and Hooper's there with four friends backing him up, and then you go knock down, okay, all right, I'm fine. You're like, well, you're not.
Well, okay, when you've got people in the devil triangle.
No.
And, like,
and Hooper just goes, right, I'm gonna skull these two and you're
yeah, that adaptation of Hooper where he comes with two beer tokens. Alright, five of them, Hooper standing off, alright. Knocked down, alright, four fucking hits for plus one damage. Do you die? Something turns you could have where you're coming in with, like, six influence Stoker and five influence Hooper.
But the thing is, as well, it's not like you go, five influence, okay, I'll spend one of these to knock you down, now I'm good to go. Whiskey Chaser on Corker, so good!
Yeah.
Love it.
One thing I didn't mention about Corbelli that I really liked, the aura of Corbelli, you know, give people the aura to, like, spend less MP to make snapshot. I like that. I like the idea of character play, that, like, you're spending influence for shit you'd normally have to blow momentum for.
Yeah.
So you're like going, alright, I can't get much out of the influence, but I'll blow it. And we can just pack around a bit and build up momentum. Yeah, super love shit like that. And knock down. And the Whiskey Chaser is so good. The thing of the funny thing, right? Because you can get Hooper up to five now. The core problem of Hooper kind of already been solved. If you're just an additional fucking right? Because, right, hypothetically, yeah, Hooper got three influence. He walks up, knocked down. Mm. Yay. Then do two good attacks for a bit of extra damage. Yay. Five influence. Kind of solves the problem. I spend one, knock down. Four excellent attacks. Yay. All right. Whiskey Chaser. Five attacks. I just do damage immediately with a knockdown. Then I do another four. I just don't think, if you put Whiskey Chaser on Hooper and you're on, like, turn two and you've got actually 2 points for beer talk, I don't know what model lived through that.
Especially with Iron Fist.
Luckily, Corker can only keep that to himself, thank God.
Imagine that.
Tooled up. Yeah, we need a tooled up aura. You know, how about we just give him commanding aura? Just, But yeah, couldn't be more pleased with the model. How about you? Favourite coming out?
At first glance, I thought it was going to be Corbelli. I thought I was going to love him. I thought I was going to switch to Masons and play Masons for a while. Off the back of it, and from getting our all-important board feel, I think Rivet's my favourite. Rivet's my favourite out of this wave. She does that giving all your squaddies tax 6 just there's times where that's just invaluable. Spade running around with tactics, velocity running around with tactics.
Yeah.
Ten dice on a charge.
Give 2-inch melee. Yeah.
Velocity. 10 dice on a charge. Rap. Off we go.
Yeah. If you velocity got an incredible playbook that was only hampered by strike attack, when you got kick attack, you're like, just I just need a couple of hits. But the funny thing about velocity, she got like insane results at the very top. She got like double push, double dodge. Yeah. At the end of the player book, tackle double dodge on three, which normally, even if she didn't have 2-inch melee, it'd be what you were looking for. Just that ability to go, okay, tackle double dodge, tackle, acrobatic, go for Dave. Even if you were being cheeky, you could give her momentum damage just to build momentum. If you could, you know, if you hypothetically couldn't get the tackle, you go, Kathy should have tackle one point of damage. So when she took the charge, I just need to hit for momentum then.
Yeah.
So
throwing out the making damage results momentum, huge.
Yeah, flexible.
So good. Toe is just, she's just all round just a great model.
Yeah.
Just probably what I needed to get a bit more time with engineers. I've always liked Pin Vice. I've liked the idea of the oil tokens.
They've taken the edge off it a bit now, haven't they?
Yeah. I've always wanted the I know it probably would be completely unbalanced and break the game, but I've always liked the idea of a teamwork action of being Fangtooth's passive, Fangtooth, the sort of just going if you could set it up perfectly, being able to just pass snapshot if you've got like enough momentum for all that.
Yeah,
you know, I really like the idea of that, but that so Pin Vice wasn't really for me when like. Because I tried it and I was like, actually, no. Yeah, I'm not really into this. Ballista, he plays that sort of standoffish, just like gun line. And I was like, no.
Preaching from that.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah.
I'm good to knock down off that. I know it's a bit of a fucking thing, right? But that's what I just liked about that. Like, you start getting up for the knockdown angle then. Yeah. You go like, oh, can I hit three people? I can.
So, yeah, but Rivet just sort of. Bring them all up, making them the best all the squaddies can be. I love her. I think she's great. She's really, really great. And I think that they've absolutely nailed the design on all of them, to be honest. Legless Drunk with that D6 push. I hope that this is a test in the waters and we might start to see a few things like this. I'd be very interested to see the fishy who can do a D6 dodge.
I can't get carried away, but I'm thinking more decent damage. All right, even out a bit, 2 decent damage. I think the game is most interesting and kind of most exciting when the random elements come in, and it's where the all or nothing kind of play occurs.
But for me, it's how much of that comes down to the dice rolls bringing that random element. Gilball, looking that, well, I don't play many other miniatures games. I play like 2 or 3 other miniatures games.
Yeah.
And for me, Gilball is the tightest one I play. I've spoken to other people who've said it's the tightest one they play. You know, it's a very competitive game because the nature of the fact that there's no give in the flexibility of the rules. Yeah. It's just like, the rules are the rules. This is what happens. And you go, what damage can you get? You aren't getting D6 shots that can do D3 damage each. You know, there's a huge spectrum there that you could hit. It's like, what do you get? 2 hits? Okay, that's 2 damage. What? Like, so, I don't know. I think D6s would have to remain in ranges, and I don't think it's going to come out many more times. I'd be interested to see someone with a D6 kick. But I really don't think that it's going to come into the damage range because I don't think the health pools are big enough. I really don't think so. And I hope not.
Well, again, I do like an element of randomness. But okay, there's already an element of randomness just because of the way attack works. Yeah. Which is fine. I love that. Funny thing, 9 times out of 10, you do kind of get what you want.
Yeah.
But it's just when you do it, or when you push your luck and it pays off, man. Maybe it's getting a gambler in there. But there's just something about going for that charge and going, all right, I just need the wrap on this one. Especially in Unlikely.
Yeah.
And it pays off and you're like, completely random, you walk away going, I am a genius.
Yeah.
I'm the guy on Deal or No Deal. Go and pick that box when it wins and go, oh, fuck it. How good am I?
Yeah. I can't. I played that really tactically. I played my game. Instead of just going, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, just do me the card, Noel. Go on. Yeah.
The bank is it? I don't care.
Yeah, I agree with that. I prefer board feel wise. I really like Corker. River, I think, is more tightly defined. And yeah, great for everyone.
Mm.
Like, I think every, I hope every engineering player will be pleased by that. Corbelli,
I think is going to be. I think Corbelli just isn't for me due to the fact that I like having a lot more backup in my striking game.
Yeah.
It's the same reason I sort of fell out of love with Shark. I don't like putting too much influence on one striker to get my goals.
Yeah.
The reason I like the order is that Mist and Spigot can get some work done, and Brisket doesn't, you know, she can do it with the inverted commas normal amount of striker influence.
Yeah.
You get the best work out of Corbelli and Shark when they're stacked up to the eyeballs, which to me, I see that as they're sapping it from the team, making the four squaddies weaker. But there are going to be people who run right with Corbelli. There are going to be people who have monstrous games with Corbelli. Oh, yeah. It's just not me.
I do really like Corbelli. That my only suggestion is either momentum 2-on-2, bring it down to 1. I hate it to wear it, or make it non-momentum.
It can't be non-momentous.
And then it's going to have to come down to 1. When you combine tooled up with that player book, again, the rest of it, beautiful, well put together, great on the board, fun to play. And the thing I like about Corbelli, it's a lot, but it's all for one goal, really. Mm. The thing about Yukai, like, they can push their luck to the point where a two-goal run in an activation, or like a back-to-back goal, is super possible. Corbelli's not hugely like that. It kind of, you get a lot of good tools to get the one goal, and then you're kind of good. I mean, Flint can go after it, but he's not. Flint doesn't get a load of ridiculous tools from Corbelli then. It's just, you basically got Flint, or you're another ball retriever. Like Yukai, who, you know, enables other people to push their range beyond what they'd ever be able to do.
Mm.
So, yeah, Corbelli's like, all right, I do all this, I get the goal, yay. At the end of it, for all this, I come back with one goal. Awesome. Well, the thing with the damage is that, it's just going to push people like, fuck, I'm murdering people and I'm getting the goal. I get the feeling that will annoy people more as time goes on, especially the presence of the tooled up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, thoroughly enjoyed it. Fully enjoyed Culverin and Cutler. I don't really have much more to say on this.
Absolutely. So, thank you very much for joining us. Stay. Get.
Bear Gill Ball.
Sure.
What the fucking god. You know what? I am in the mood for, Alex.
What is it, Ryan?
I'm looking to travel to a new place.
Mm.
Not Thailand, not Japan, but maybe.
How do you think you'll travel there?
I don't know, but I'm looking at a destination called P3X7977.
Ah.
Right. Hypothetically, right, planet Earth literally discovers other alien planets that are really awesome.
Welcome to the Iris of Stargate SG-1 Listen Along podcast.
Wouldn't you give them like cool names? You wouldn't you call them Planet 550. Like, wait a minute, that's Space Mongolia. You literally call it Planet Mongolia. But yeah, we travel. Yeah, go on this episode, we go to a planet of divided into light and dark. It happened for the broadcast. I have no recollection of the Capricorn.
Do you not? Oh, it's one of the great ones. This is where they go, and so like there's the rich people living in the light, and then like a bunch of savages living in the dark, and it's like a light based plague kind of thing. Okay. So like if you're in the dark, you sort of get this plague that sort of de-evolves you into like a Neanderthal.
Oh, it took
Yeah, Jackson gets it. Daniel Jackson gets
doesn't
it.
Gives him like a brow.
They get the
gives him the Buffy the Vampire Slayer vampire. Eyebrow.
Yeah.
Man, what the fuck? No, that's something that picks me off. Like SG-1 travel to P3X. Like, I don't know, light and dark planet. I don't know. Can you go? Oh, you went to T4000, whatever.
Chessboard planet.
Planet Mongolia, you mean? Like, well, yeah, if you're going to call it that. Like, you're in Planet Mongolia, what do you want from me?
I'm definitely going to have faded out by now. This segment cannot keep getting longer and longer each time.